Deb and I, we were doing a language workshop with the State Libraries in Brisbane, and Des Crump, who's the Indigenous worker at State Libraries, has been very supportive of our journey with reviving our language. He approached us while we were at this workshop and said, it's the 50th anniversary of the first publication of The Very Hungry Caterpillar. And State Libraries had applied for some funding this being the International Year of Indigenous Languages, and they'd applied for some funding to do a project recognising the 50 years of The Very Hungry Caterpillar. And there's asked Deb and myself would we be interested in having a go at translating the English words into our Yuwibara language. And we looked at each other and thought it could be a challenge, but it's a challenge that we're up for. So we sat down a full day in Brisbane and just worked through the words. And as you might know, some of the words in The Very Hungry Caterpillar, we don't have a Yuwibara word. So we had to sort of think of substitute words to put into the book. So it was a bit of a process, and it was very exhausting, but we're very proud of what we've been able to achieve.
Mm. Yeah, I think for us, we were so passionate to be able to do The Very Hungry Caterpillar, one for the 50th year, but also because it's such an iconic book and it's well known by adults and children alike. And it was a perfect opportunity for us to share with community an example of us retrieving our language and how we can put it into resources. And as Uncle said, some of the words we really had to look at, for instance, it's called The Very Hungry Caterpillar, and in our language it was Dibina Dibina Gabul, because Dibul meant grub. And so although we didn't have caterpillar, we had the word for grub. So they were the little things we actually had to look at when we put the words together. What people don't understand is the Aboriginal language is quite intricate if you're doing one word here and there, but when you are putting language, stringing it together in sentence structure and everything, it's all the little suffixes and everything that goes onto those words that make it understandable to be able to read clearly.
And is the book being used in schools in the Mackay region?
No, with this project we were hoping at the start of the project that we were able to have the book published with it, with our Yuwibara language in it, but this was more of an oral project for us. And the reasons with that is because The Very Hungry Caterpillar is such a huge consortium. They actually have a board of directors that oversee the whole company since the author is no longer here. But there were a bit of issues with being able to put the language in the books that didn't meet our... I guess when we produce something, we want it to be of proper, you know, done proper and with good quality. So what we did in the end is we used this as an oral storytelling, but we were able to put together bookmarks. And on those bookmarks, we had half a dozen words in language that were out of the storybook. So then families would be able to... gently, while they were reading the book in English to their children, be able to start teaching the children some of the language words that would accompany the English words.
When the word list came together, I understand there are about 1,000 words in the list?
Yeah, we've got about 1,000 now, yeah.
What I love about Aboriginal languages is that there's such an economy of words, and words can have more than one meaning. You talked about, you know, mother also being Mother Earth. Mm. You know, if we had one good word for something, like the crook of an elbow and the crook or the bend in a river, we just saw that they are intrinsically the same. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. And you know, especially one word, as you were just saying too, depending on if you were talking about past tense or present or future, that was the same word, just with that suffix on the end that just depicts it of being where that is placed within that time frame.
Was there much in the way of historical records of the language in the State Library, for instance, or was there much of a word list prior to your research?
No, not really, Daniel. it was very difficult when we first began our journey to try and find some word lists, but with the help of Des Crump from State Libraries, and also the mere fact that libraries are now starting to digitise a lot of their old written documents, and so that's making it a lot easier to jump on the computer and research those word lists.
I think Uncle Philip and I have been travelling down to the State Library every year, as well as some of the others in the language group. We've got a group of us that are passionate about retrieving and reviving our language. But that journey has been each year we go down, and there wasn't many words that were passed down. A majority of the words we had was exactly that. It was meticulously going through old records, and a lot of that was from early settlers, pastoralists, and that have recorded. The problem we found as we were doing it was our language was an oral language. It was never a written language. So when we did find words, we'd often have maybe four words for that one word, but that's how the person heard it when they were recording it. And then when we actually had to break that down again and look at it, then sometimes three of those words would have been actually the same word when you say that word. And so our language, as I said, yeah, it was made up from recorded words, the limited words that were passed down, but also we had yarns with our neighbouring clans, because we had that shared language, and that's how we traded and with our neighbours. So that also combines to make our Yui Barra language.
And what those recorders didn't have was often there was no pronunciation key. They just went from their ear.
Yeah.
And they brought their own way of speaking into our languages. How difficult has it been to kind of reconstruct how the words would have been pronounced?
Oh, look, although we're passionate about it, I'll be honest, there were times we were overwhelmed about it as well. But we've been very fortunate to have, as I said, we owe a lot to where we are today with Des, because he's a Kamilaroi fellow. He's been working throughout Queensland. He's knowledgeable. He has been doing this sort of revival work for quite some time. So without his assistance, we wouldn't be here. But also along our journey, we've worked in with a linguist. And although that linguist wasn't so much about the pronunciation side, it was about the sentence structure side and how our Aboriginal language was structured together. And we also worked with the North Queensland Language Centre, and they supported us with funding to be able to hook in with the linguists. But this journey is going to be ongoing for us. As I said, we'd love to bring out more resources and being able to have that flowing through the schools. And that's two-pronged too. It's about us having the resources to be able to do that. But it's also about, I think, having that support through governments and that, to be able to recognise that there is importance for our First Nations language and support that going through the education systems.
It seems like it's all come together for us. You know, we started our journey 4 years ago or whatever, but this now being the International Year of Indigenous Languages, so it fits with that theme, but it also fits with the theme for NAIDOC for this year is Voice, Treaty, Truth. So as I said before, with language comes all the stories and, you know, the history. And it's an opportunity for us to now to get out there and educate the community about the history of the Mackay area, and particularly on first contact and first settlement. Most of the people that live in Mackay now don't know any of the true history of the early days in Mackay. So it's an opportunity for both Deb and myself and the other traditional custodians to get out there and tell that story.
And I think from earlier years, way back before early settlement, there was a lot recorded. Over 200 people and were in different clan groups were seen. And in today's, we only have four families active here on country now. So we've lost a lot of our people, but the ones that are here, we're very passionate to do what we can to revive it and educate, I guess. It's about educating too. And it's not just our Indigenous people. A lot of non-Indigenous people have been asking us a lot of questions, and they're actually been respectfully asking us to come on board and to share, whether it's Welcome to Countries in there when they're having certain forums or conferences and things. So it's getting well received with both Aboriginal and non-Indigenous people.